have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Thank you all so much for being with me. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. And my biblical question for this week, the biblical question, what is real power? What is real power? What is it? We've been talking about it. Well, I've been asking all week. What is real power? Amazing, huh? And also, we have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you are out and about, busy, working out, jogging, whatever you're doing, whatever, you can listen to the show while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. Of course, you can podcast the show, right? But you can be listening while you're doing what you're doing by calling the listen line at 605-1- No, this is an awful number.
I think I know it.
What is it?
It is 605-615-4131.
Why do they keep switching numbers?
Oh, I'll tell you off air.
Oh, okay. 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. What the? Amazing. And also, to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. And you can go to Bond JLP on Cash App. Bond JLP on Cash App. I saw like Joe Biden trying to read that number.
Pause.
What?
Pause.
That's right. Amazing. So, for the new listeners, and just to remind the old listeners, we take all calls, of course, but Thursday is, and the reason we do Bible Thumper Thursday is so that we can have a little more time, a little bit more time with the Bible Thumpers, because it's real difficult to communicate with Bible Thumper. They go from one scripture to another. While you're trying to communicate with them, they're already in their head about the next Bible Thumper question. So they don't really communicate very well. But we love the Bible Thumper too, so we try to be kind to everyone. And Thursday is always Bible Thumper Thursday.
All right, brother, are you ready? He's drunk as a badger. Go ahead. Let that Holy Ghost language come up out of you. Go ahead.
Bible Thumper Thursday. Amazing. 888-775-3773. And I'm going to get to all of your calls. I do see them. And, but I have this amazing story we just want to kind of revisit and remind you of it. But first, let me say this, because so many people of lately have been asking me about if human beings have a free will, if they have a free will. And I, over the years, I've heard people say, well, we have a free will. We do have a free will, right? And I tell people all the time, you do not have a free will. You don't have it. And people, like, they really have a hard time with that, believing that they do not have a free will, but yet they can't prove to me that they have a free will. But I want to tell you today again, because I have mentioned it before, you do not have a free will. And you can easily prove to yourself that you don't have a free will. You don't have it. And as soon as you realize that you don't have a free will, you become free. Isn't that amazing? But as long as you think you have a free will, you're going to have some issues. Just FYI, you do not have a free will, people. You don't. Anyway, I want to revisit anger, Cain and Abel, and all that really good, amazing story. And I have with me my producer, Sean, is here. And he's also one of the experts here on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show to discuss this Cain and Abel deal.
Good morning.
How are you?
All is well.
And then on my far left, and your right, the Hake Report is here. And he's also one of the experts here on the show. And Hake is an expert here. And his show is here Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific time. Before I go and get to this, are both of you guys Christian?
Yep. Well, I am.
You're not a Christian, Chef?
No.
You're a Jew?
No. Nope.
No, he's Irish.
So you're not a Christian?
No.
What are you?
Nothing.
Nothing? Oh, Lord.
Yep. That's right.
So Sean, not a Christian. Hake is a Christian. And the reason I ask that because...
A homegrown Christian.
What?
Homegrown.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Homegrown Christian all the way. But, and that's important to know. It's important to know. So I want to
talk... Why did you bring that up?
What?
Whether we're Christian or not?
Because I didn't know if you were.
Oh. Dang. I guess I'm not letting my light shine.
You say that again.
Whoa.
Oh, no, I'm playing. I want to, this Matthew 5, it says, anyone who is angry is guilty of murder. Anyone who is angry is guilty of murder. And so that's where this story comes in?
It's just very fitting for this. For this story, I mean, that's written in Matthew. Cain and Abel is in Genesis, but you know, we've covered Cain and Abel before, obviously, but it's so deep, and I think it's worth just revisiting it. So,
okay,
you want to read Genesis 4?
It's amazing how in the world today, and especially in my country, anger is pushed as good by most people. Everybody says anger is good. Even though it caused depression, suicidal thought, all kinds of things. and it caused people to kill one another, and yet they said anger is good.
Or they say it's natural. Everybody, it's you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
It's part of being human.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's the overreaction. Sorry, go ahead.
And they go right to that one verse that says be angry. And they skip all of the verses that say get rid of all anger.
Yeah. Amazing, huh? Mm-hmm. And so we want Sean to get to this Cain and Abel revisit story. Go.
So, yeah, Genesis 4, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. So it's a quick little clip, just a summary of Cain and Abel.
And this is from
Legends of History. Yeah.
Watch this.
Adam and Eve told their children that in order to show gratitude to God, they would need to perform a worthy sacrifice. Abel immediately chose one of his best newly born lambs to offer up to God, and though it was important to him, he believed that giving it over to God was far more important than keeping it for himself. When Cain learned about his brother's selfless sacrifice, he was puzzled. He told Abel that he should sacrifice something far less significant. After all, he himself was going to sacrifice some old dried fruit that he was planning on getting rid of anyway. Why his brother was going to give away something so cherished was beyond him. God is stated to have looked with favor upon Abel's sacrifice, but did not look with favor upon Cain's. The idea is that Cain and Abel both placed their offerings into a fire. Abel's lamb burnt up in the fire, and the flames roared as the sacrifice was consumed. But when Cain placed his offering into the fire, the sacrifice merely smoldered, and the fire itself died down. Cain grew jealous. He couldn't see the logic behind why God had preferred Abel's sacrifice over his. He grew angry at his brother, and it would lead him to become consumed with venomous thoughts. Cain lured his brother out into the fields one day and struck Abel, killing him. Immediately, Cain realized what he had done. It was around the same time that God appeared to Cain and asked him where his brother was. Cain lied to God, claiming that he didn't know, before infamously muttering, "Am I my brother's keeper?"
Amazing. Yep. Why did God do that?
That's what I wanted to touch on today, because that's the question a lot of people ask, is why did God ask Cain, where's your brother, if God obviously already knew where his brother was? He just killed him.
But why did God accept one's offer but not the other?
Because one was an actual sacrifice and one was just a fake sacrifice. He got rid of some dried, he offered some dried fruit that he was going to get rid of anyway. And Abel offered a lamb.
Oh.
And it, which is an actual sacrifice because he's a shepherd and it was very valuable to him.
It reminds me of what Jesus said in the temple when he was watching the people donate to the church or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And these rich people gave like a little bit out of their wealth. And then this one woman gave like 2 cents. But that was all that she had. And so he said she gave more than anybody.
Nice.
Even though
that.
She gave like the tiniest amount
yeah.
out of everybody, but it was the most yeah. that she had.
Amazing. And so.
So people ask, why did God ask Cain, where is your brother?
Right.
If he knew that he already killed him. So obviously, as the story goes, Abel made actual sacrifices, and God favored his sacrifices and favored Abel. And Cain got jealous and killed his brother, right?
Right.
And so God says, where's your brother? And Cain goes, you know, am I my brother's keeper? And people will say, well, you know, God knew where his brother was, so why did he ask him? And what I've realized is that he asked them where his brother was so that he can... so that Cain can get to know himself. Because Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? As if, like, he's not, right? But he spent his whole life being his brother. He spent his whole life worried about his brother. He's worried about his sacrifice over his sacrifice. He's focused on his brother and not himself, right? So in one question, God causes him to realize that. Or at least to speak out
right.
the process of trying to realize that. he says, am I my brother's keeper? Because he spent so much time worried about his brother's sacrifice over his and being jealous. So it was like the perfect question to ask him, you know, where's your brother? Where's your brother? And I think part of the point in asking that is to get him to realize that he's not his brother's keeper.
Amazing. Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. I never heard or thought about it like that before. Because I hadn't considered that he was always having his eyes on his brother to compare him to himself.
Yeah.
And be all jealous to the point where he's willing to kill his brother, thinking that that's going to make God love him or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of insane.
Like he was his brother's keeper, and look where that got him.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That's amazing, man.
Keep your eyes on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. That's deep.
Nice. That's pretty good for not being a Christian.
I know.
Irishman.
Yeah.
They can relate to the murderous stuff.
Yeah, we're a sorrowful people.
The Irish people are?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sorrow meaning lazy?
So yeah, they compare themselves to the other whites and be like, we're getting discriminated against. Or they used to.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
The Irish people?
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, we were slaves too.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, you know, you could say that the Irish in Ireland had it much worse off than slaves in America did.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Irish famine was done, you know, on purpose.
So were the Irish people enslaved by other Irish people?
I don't know. I don't know.
Who did the potato famine?
That was what was this? Cromwell, England.
It was a white man.
Yeah.
So he did it to his own people.
Well, people. I mean, a lot of people will say that Ireland is its own country, and they're not part of England. They're their own state. But the Northern Irish don't agree with that. They think they want to be part of Britain, part of United Kingdom.
Oh,
and all that jazz. Wow. But yeah, I mean, the big Irish migration to the U.S. in like the 1890s, 1900, into Ellis Island, New York.
All right.
It's because they were all starving.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was about the time my family came over. So
everybody complained about something, huh?
Yeah. And then when they did come over, when the Irish did come over to New York, they were at the bottom of the food chain with the blacks. It was the Irish Catholics and blacks were at the bottom. Irish need not apply, those signs on stores in New York City. That was a thing. Everyone hated. Even the Irish Protestants in New York hated the Irish Catholics.
Really?
Wow. Nice. So the Irish Catholics had to figure their own thing out and do their own thing. So they started, you know, the Irish mob. And
so how were the Irish people able to do so well? The blacks didn't do that well. The blacks used to do well, too, though.
I mean, they just started their own thing. It wasn't legal, but they just started their own thing. A lot of them became politicians and policemen too. So they did public service. Like the Irish are known for their public service.
Oh.
They gave back even though they weren't given anything.
I'm putting quotation marks to the podcast listeners.
And so once again, explain the Adam and Eve story for people again.
Cain and Abel.
I mean Cain and Abel story.
The Cain and Abel. Yeah. So you know. Like I said, people ask, why did God ask Cain, where's your brother? And I started thinking about it a little differently. And in my opinion, he asked them because he wanted Cain to realize something about himself. And he did. I mean, Cain said, am I my brother's keeper?
Right.
All of a sudden, he wants to play like he doesn't care about his brother.
Right.
But this whole time, he was all worried about it, worried for himself.
Right.
Because of his brother's comparing himself to his brother. That's interesting.
At least God got him to ask the question, am I my brother's keeper?
And he was always jealous of his brother?
Right. Well, I don't know since they were kids, but as soon as they started working and making sacrifices for God, God favored one over the other because it was an actual sacrifice. He can see right through the fake sacrifice, and he saw the actual sacrifice, and he favored Abel.
Right. Amazing.
I don't remember in the Bible if it says that Cain was encouraging Abel not to give such a nice sacrifice like it said in that thing. Maybe they were just speculating or maybe it's implied or something. But I like how what Sean said, rather than just accepting the intellectual explanation, because I remember reading the footnotes to different things in these Bibles that have footnotes, and it would say, oh, that's a rhetorical question. And so it takes away your wonder and your learning for yourself.
Right.
Right. God could have said, you're not your brother's keeper. You shouldn't have worried about your brother all that time. You shouldn't have been jealous, but he just said, where's your brother? You know?
But rather than realize it, I don't know if Cain really learned his lesson right then, because he was flip-flopping, playing innocent like a woman or like an evil man, playing like he wasn't trying to babysit his brother all the time. But when he was.
It is somewhat an insight into how God works, though. Yeah. Because he may not come out and explicitly say clearly, you know, he'll encourage you to get to know yourself. You know, that quiet little voice that tells you that you might be doing something wrong.
And it's a picture of how evil human nature is, too.
Yep. Human nature, I had no idea the depth.
Sarcastic, right? the first instant of sarcasm.
Yeah, because my brother's keeper, am I my brother's keeper? That was a sarcastic question. Am I his babysitter? Because that's what that means. Keeper means babysitter.
Oh, okay. I had no idea the depths of the evil human nature is. I didn't know that. It's evil, evil. Human nature is pure evil.
Yeah.
It's no wonder. I just had no idea it was that bad. But anyway, Genesis 4, and the Lord said to Cain, when you worked, we didn't read that yet, right?
Nope.
When you worked the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth.
Wanderer
on the earth. No soundbite for that. Go ahead, sir.
Nope. That's just his pun. That's his. That's his punishment for killing. Now, when you, in your anger, you're going to be a fugitive and a wanderer on earth. That's what you get for murdering your brother.
Wow. What a hard way to live, huh?
Was he the one who was scared that he was going to get killed by outsiders because he had killed his brother? And then God marked him so that he wouldn't die? Didn't give him the death penalty?
That sounds right. Yeah,
he did.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And then we all descended from Cain. So it makes sense that we would all have that human nature, right?
I don't know, maybe, but because I heard that Adam and Eve had other children like Seth, which sounds like a devilish name.
Yeah.
Shout out to Seth.
If it sounds like the sound of a snake.
Yeah.
So Adam and Eve had another child?
Yeah, they had other kids because he was concerned that he was going to get killed by other people. So there must have been other people around to kill
Oh, yeah.
Potentially be a threat to him.
Right.
But in a sense, we are descended. The evil spirit that possessed Cain possesses all of us. So, yeah, I kind of agree we're descended from him.
Oh, amazing.
Nice.
Anything else on that, Sean?
Yeah. If Cain was more conscious in that moment that God asked him, he would have known right away that he was being a hypocrite by saying, but he wasn't conscious enough.
That's why he couldn't admit what was going on.
Yep.
He was unconscious.
Yep.
I wonder, it would have been interesting if he had admitted, yeah, I killed him. He did over there in the woods. I didn't mean to do it, but I did it.
Yeah.
It would have been a different outcome.
Yeah, maybe God would have just forgiven him right away instead of making him a fugitive and wanderer of the earth.
And that does remind me of human beings today. The last thing that human beings want to admit to themselves, not, you don't have to admit to the world, that they are wrong.
Yeah.
That is the last thing they want to admit to themselves, how wrong they are, how evil they are, how wrong they are. It's hard to do.
Yep. That's real power, is knowing yourself.
Amazing. Well, I can't respond to Sunday about that.
Right. I tried.
Amazing. Anything else on that particular thing, Hank?
Yeah, just to the Christians who think, oh, yeah, you are your brother's keeper.
Yeah.
That's like, that's not true. It's not the lesson that you're supposed to get from it.
No, we're definitely not our brother's keeper.
You're supposed to love your brother, not hate him.
Right.
You're not supposed to kill him.
Right.
But you're not, you're not supposed to use Cain's words and take the opposite of what the evil man said, because the opposite of what the evil man said is not necessarily what the right answer is. Anyway.
And when you say you're supposed to love your brother, to love him is to let him suffer. To love him is to leave him on his own.
100%. Absolutely. That's deep. I want to take a couple calls about this. Do you mind?
Sweet.
Okay. Let me go to Wayne out of Texas. Wayne, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. Good morning. How are you?
All is well.
Yeah, well, I was listening to... first of all, I want to say thanks to everybody. You know, you're doing a good job, and keep it coming, okay?
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
So I see the Cain and Abel story as an allegory for the flesh and versus the spirit living. And when God said, where's your brother's keeper? He's like, oh, so you care so much about your brother. You're taking care of him. You're judging him and all that. Where is he now? What do you do with him? You know what I'm saying? In that kind of vein.
Mm-hmm.
And then working, when Abel was working the ground, he was working his lower level. So he was working his thoughts. And so he gave God the fruit of his thoughts. And God doesn't like that. He doesn't want the fruit of your thoughts. And when Cain gave the animal, what Cain really did was sacrifice his own thoughts. So the beast in him, he sacrificed that beast. And so God was happy that he actually killed his thoughts and didn't pay attention to his thoughts. What do you think?
Very, very interesting. Yeah, you meant Abel, right? When Abel sacrificed the lamb, he actually sacrificed his own.
That's
thoughts.
What I meant. Yes, yeah, right, yeah.
As opposed to Cain, who just expected his thoughts, like the ground. If you look at the ground as his thoughts, he just expected them to yield fruit.
Exactly.
It's interesting. So God didn't.
He was. He was using his thoughts, and God doesn't want. God wants you to.
Yep.
To sacrifice your own self and come into the kingdom in silence.
And I feel like that's what a lot of Bible thumpers do, is they miss the allegorical parts of the Bible. They miss the symbolic language and the parable-like nature of the Bible being an allegory, mm-hmm, representing, mm-hmm. It might represent things other than what it's actually talking about.
Exactly.
They miss that part of the Bible, and they say, we literally have to literally take everything literally in the Bible, you know?
What are you saying is...
It's Brother Sonny brings up something that I thought of, but I didn't know what happened. Brother Sonny over on Kick.
Who is Brother Sonny?
I'm looking at the chat, so I'm slightly distracted, but chat is informative. The over on kick.com/JCLeePeterson, Brother Sonny says, the only advice you ever need, and then he shares passages from the Genesis story. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, this is before he killed him. It was when he was jealous about the stuff not
right.
Working. If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Interesting,
that's
huh?
Like your
very
ego.
Interesting.
That's your ego. Your ego is crouching at your door.
How did you come up with this idea that it was about thoughts during that time?
Because the Bible says the same thing over and over and over again. It's pointing us to go to our prayer closet and be silent and listen to God. So it tells us in one way, it tells us in another way. We just don't freaking see it. So whenever I read that story, I can see clearly that God liked, the guy who sacrificed his own ego as opposed to the guy who is trying to do things for himself, trying to work things out himself.
Amazing.
That are amazing.
Is Wayne...
I highly recommend
you get them. Oh, I'm out. Thank you, Wayne. Back in a moment. Family, financial success guy. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autograph copy, or call 800-411-2663. Okay. Wrong one. Oh, it should be this one.
Third one.
Right here.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. A couple announcements. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. TheHakeReport.com from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific Time. The Hake Report, 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific Time. And after The Hake Report, I'm not getting this thing for some reason.
I was talking
to you. Oh, okay. And after The Hake Report, Joel Friday TV, he black. Joel Friday TV, he black. And then The American Anchor Baby at noontime. A Genius at noon. Brand new episode of The Fall Estate tomorrow, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. Brand new episode. I had a very interesting discussion with Leslie and Lindsay, Leslie and Lindsay Glass. They are a mother and daughter. They are a mother and daughter author duo, and co-founder of the nonprofit organization Reach Out Recovery. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
I put down drugs and alcohol a long time ago. I don't want to say I got involved with the bad crowd. I was the bad crowd.
Yeah. My daughter was not doing well. I knew there was something wrong.
Who is Lindsay?
She's my better half. I lost myself when I lost my daughter.
You're not yourself. You are your mother. And you're never going to have peace until you become you.
Wow, what an experience. And I really understand and relate to what you're saying.
That brother like what, that is Friday, brand new episode of the Fall Estate TV. And don't forget to support the Fall Estate, all right? TheFallEstate.tv/donate. Or you could go to locals.com to support it. Whenever I hear mothers say, I lost my life when I lost my daughter or my son or my children were everything to me, it sounds so evil to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because when they, like, I lost my life, they're going to do everything they can now to get their lives back from their kids, adult kids.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you get for, you know, getting your life from somebody else, from anybody else.
That's amazing.
It's like Cain.
Getting it from within.
It's like Cain did with Abel.
And they, but they think they're saying something good. Well, I lost my life when I lost my daughter. And the daughter trying to get away from mama because she's suffering.
I wonder if it's because it reflects badly on them.
It does.
You know?
Absolutely. 100%. So, Sean, before you go here, I have a call for you.
Okay.
Brian is a first-time caller out of Texas. Brian, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Well, it's amazing I'm on the air. How are you, Jesse?
All is well, Brian. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Sean, I'm amazed at the insight when you guys were discussing the story in Genesis regarding Cain and Abel, and I thought your insight was excellent and right on point, but I'm absolutely shocked that you're not a Christian, so I was wanting to know a little more history about you, and because obviously you've read the scriptures, you've thought about them, you have critical thinking, and but yet, I mean, I would assume you believe in God, but I really don't want to assume. I'm just really surprised that you say you're not a Christian, so I just wanted to get a little more information on it.
Yeah, no, that's no problem. I grew up, you know, Roman Catholic, Irish Catholic, and I put that in quotes because, my family didn't go to church. You know, we did for weddings and for, you know.
So Roman Catholic mean that the Catholics just roam around the earth? Is that what that is?
Wandering Catholic.
Okay, go ahead.
So both my parents have their own personal, you know, relationships with God. They both believe in God, you know, as do I. But we didn't go to church. We didn't. Maybe we had a Bible in the house, but I didn't. You know, we didn't read it. We didn't pray over our dinner or anything like that. So I like to say we were more like culturally Catholic. It's sort of just in our culture. But we didn't talk about
sure.
it. You know what I mean? We didn't discuss God. We didn't argue about God. I didn't go to, you know, Christian school or anything like that. And I didn't think mm-hmm. about God or think about Jesus until I got here, until I started listening to Jesse.
I see.
And I think that was a benefit for me in a lot of ways because I wasn't like, you know, all befuddled about it. I didn't grow up. I still don't think about him, to be honest.
So you didn't even think about God until you got here?
Until I heard you talk about God on YouTube four or
really?
5 years ago. Yeah, the way that you spoke about
right.
God was something that spoke to me. Before that, I didn't even think about it.
So you didn't think about it. So you didn't consider yourself agnostic or atheist ever. You just didn't think about it.
No, I probably would have told you I was an atheist in college just because it sounded cool, you know? And everything is it's all relative and there's no right and wrong and all that, you know, hippy-dippy stuff.
So did you in college still consider yourself a Roman Catholic, though, culturally?
I mean, no, I wouldn't have said I was Catholic. I had no idea what that meant,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't.
True.
I had no idea. I was into other things. I was into, like, worldly things. I didn't have any sort of spiritual thinking going on in my head at all.
Really?
So I would. Let's go ahead.
No, reason for it.
So I would say I'm not a Christian because I don't want to put myself into that category. Like I don't even know what that means. I still find it useful not to think about God or Jesus in any type of way at all. You know, I just do things.
Oh,
kind of like the Joker in Batman. I just do things. You know what I mean? I don't think about it as right or wrong. I can see that I can't help myself. I can see myself not even making decisions, just doing things. You know, and I don't think about it in terms of right and wrong.
So even though you grew up a Roman Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Catholic.
R-O-M-A-N. Like like
yeah.
Rome. Like
oh.
I.
Oh, you're from Rome?
I guess that's it.
That's what they pushed on the Irish.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so all the Irish turned Catholic, almost. Many of them.
So though you grew up a Catholic, being aware of the Catholic, you didn't think about being Catholic? I mean, like, you wouldn't think I'm a Catholic?
No, I wasn't even aware of the Catholic. Like I said, we only went to church when we had to go to a
mass,
a wake ceremony,
oh.
or a wedding. You know, my parents got married in a. I think they actually got married in a Presbyterian church because in the Catholic Church, when you get married, you have to go through all these, you know,
Hail Mary.
Yeah, you have to go through all these like permits and stuff.
Oh,
and they didn't have time, so they
There's
got married.
There's actually a great divide between the Catholics and the Protestants. You know,
right.
Whereas you know we see the Catholics, you know, when Martin Luther had the what the Protestants call the Reformation, the Catholics call a revolution. So there's a lot of differences.
So, but what I can't grasp yet, so you were raised Catholic, but even through high school and college and all that, you never thought, well, I'm a Catholic.
I wouldn't even say I was raised Catholic.
Oh. But why did you say?
He only said it because they would go to, that's the church that
they would go to.
Well, you said a wake? A wake is like you see a dead body?
No, like a funeral ceremony or, you know, you go to the church during a wake or funeral.
Oh, I see. Wow. And so...
So my parents went to Catholic school growing up. You know, my grandparents were all Catholic. They were members of the Catholic Church.
Right.
But in my family growing up, it just wasn't something we like talked about.
That sounds a little bit like how my parents grew up, because they grew up culturally Christian. I don't know how much they went to church.
Right.
My grandparents took them to church, but they weren't serious about it the way that my parents were serious about it with us, especially my mother.
Yeah.
So I'm glad.
Sean,
I'm definitely.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you were growing up, were you like hip? Were you think I'm a what? Yeah,
it was no. It was I didn't think of myself as anything. You know what I mean? Like my parents.
Jay, move over more.
Sorry, Brian, you were going to ask me something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt. But yeah, so again, I'm really impressed with the critical thinking. I imagine that you've read other parts of Scripture and used the same thought process through. So I guess my question to continue, knowing your history, and I appreciate you sharing that.
Joel is here.
Do you actually see a need for Christ in your life?
Do I see a need? I mean, he's there whether I need him or not. So I don't know if I don't know if needing him is the right way to put it. I recognize that he's there whether I need him or not. You know, he's a reality. He's you know, my brother. Whether I recognize that or not, he's there.
Do you understand his sacrifice for us so that we can be with God? Do you look at it that way?
No, and I wouldn't want to get myself to understand it or think about it in any way whatsoever.
Yeah,
I kind of agree with you. I agree with you.
Like I hear about it. I hear about the sacrifice he died on the cross for our sins. I don't know what any of that means, and I don't look to find out what it means either.
Nice.
You know, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I'm not really sure why you see it that way, but I do appreciate you letting me know. I was, like I said, I was really curious.
The way that I see your question, your pondering of him is sort of like a checkbox of quizzing him, Brian, quizzing Sean, to see where he stands when you. And I don't know if you're doing this, but a lot of people are like, "Where is Jesse's statement of faith on his website? I want to see that so I can see if he's a real Christian or not." When it's just kind of intellectually checking the boxes rather than taking him as your brother, if you will, and letting him work out his own faith.
Well, I don't have an agenda per se. Like I said, I was sparked by the curiosity of him claiming him not being a Christian, but yet having that kind of insight over the Scriptures. My own personal belief is, you know, I do believe that we have to come to faith in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, but you know, I understand that there's many people that, you know, don't necessarily.
What does that mean? Come to faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sin.
Well, in my understanding, I understand that we're fallen creatures, that we have a sin nature that we inherited, that we're absolutely evil. You don't teach a child to do bad things. You have to teach them to do good things. It's inherently in us. and that we need to be forgiven. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to ask God for that forgiveness. And I understand that there was a understanding
well,
the process.
Christ forgave you for your sins on the cross.
Absolutely, he sure did.
And so if he's already forgiven you for your sin, why do you still have to come and ask for forgiveness for your sin if you're already forgiven?
Okay, you got me there, Jesse. I believe I think there's probably a ton of people out there that don't think that they're a sinner.
No, I'm talking about you. Why do you still believe you need to come and ask for forgiveness when it's cleared up? You've already been forgiven. Your sins,
oh, yeah, no,
and your
okay,
sin,
now I understand what you're
your
saying.
Sins
yeah, I already have.
Been,
I've already asked for I do understand what you're saying. Yeah, I know
but,
I've
and your
sins sin
have already been forgiven. There was even no reason to be asked, to even ask him that. Why did you
yeah,
ask him? Why did you ask him to forgive you when there was nothing to forgive you for?
Well, I had realized in my own life that I had done things that were against God's law. And
but
I
you had not.
Laws, and that's,
you have never done anything against God's law.
I guess I don't understand because, you know, I've done things that God would not want me to do. And, you know, sin is a transgression of the law. So I would understand that if I have transgressed his law, then I have committed sins.
But
so
you
I
have
need...
you have not, though. Hate want to respond to
what it. Two things. What it sounds like is you are repeating rote learning and having some false assumptions, by the way, about what Christianity is and what how its children become sinful or are corrupted, because mm-hmm. children are taught to be evil by their parents without the parents even realizing that that's what they're teaching their children, for one. And yes, maybe it's already in them, that messed up, weak capacity to be evil. But the second thing is, like, the Lord's Prayer is is asking God to do things that he's already done. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. He's already not doing that. He's already forgiven us. Give us our daily bread. He's already doing that. And your kingdom come. That's already happening. So it doesn't actually say to ask for forgiveness. So there's like all these false assumptions jumping to conclusions from this rote learning.
No, didn't Scripture say if you confess your sins, he is righteous enough to forgive us our sins?
Right.
And you do that when you admit that you're wrong. You're wrong for being angry. You're wrong for judging or playing God. And so salvation is of the heart, right? So when you admit, you know what? I've been playing God. I'm sorry for judging. And you'll be done. That's it, of the heart. Everything else is done.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement.
but you're not because you... And I understand what you're saying, but you still believe all that other stuff.
I see. Okay.
Because it's coming off as empty.
Right.
As like a shallow intellectual understanding of Christianity. You know how Christians often say, I know it with my head, I just have to believe it with my heart. And
right.
For all this time, all growing up, that's what I learned. And that's what it isn't changing your life, you know? That intellectual understanding and repeating.
Brian, I got to run. Call me again, though. Very interesting, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I very much enjoyed this conversation. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
You too, buddy. Thank you. Let me go to a first-time caller out of Utah, Dwayne. Dwayne, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
How you doing, Jesse?
All is well, Dwayne.
Good. So I have a question. I'm 29 right now, and I feel like I've wasted my entire 20s. And it brings me discontent, not happy about it. And I know I try not to think about it, but every once in a while the thought comes up, and it just makes me upset. And I wanna. I've been doing the silent prayer, not every single day, but I've been doing it throughout the day, maybe 5 minutes here and there, but not religiously every single day. And it just bothers me that I've wasted so much time.
How old are you?
Get over that. 29.
So you're 29 years old, and you feel like you wasted so much time at 29?
Yes, sir.
Wasted time how?
I feel like I should have pursued trade or some type of career at a younger age. I feel like instead of me chasing, just being dumb with my friends, going out drinking, getting high, doing crime, all type of stupid stuff, I should have been getting right spiritually and financially.
So what I want to do, I want Haik and Sean to respond, and then I will. You say, Haik.
What was his question?
He feels like he's 29, and he feel like he's wasted his time. He wasted his life doing stupid stuff, and now you know he want to know what to do to get past this.
Number one, don't worry about what you've just done or what you, let's say, last night or this morning you did stupid stuff. Don't worry about that. Like, worrying about that or trying to figure out how you're going to stop doing that is a trap that God doesn't want you doing. And that's all I have for now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Okay. Sean.
Yeah, it wasn't you that caused yourself to do all those things in your 20s that you call wasting, you know, getting high and not thinking spiritually. It wasn't you that caused yourself to do all those things. And it's not you right now condemning yourself for doing all those things. You're saying, I wasted my life. I did this. I did that. None of those things were you. And if you're worried about it or if you have any sort of regret or anxiety, those are all evil. And if you trust God at all, if you say that you trust God or believe in God or trust Him, then you wouldn't have any anxiety at all, ever, or regret.
Right.
Regret is one of the silliest things I could think of. So if you say that you trust God and you believe in God, you wouldn't get anxious and you wouldn't have regret because you trust God.
Right.
To add to that, Dwayne, where did you get the idea you have wasted your life?
And this is what I was thinking about before I had called in. Me comparing myself to others and how they've done, because I just thought about it, and if I would have done what I did, what I know now and what I'm doing now when I was 18, 19, 20, I mean, I probably would have owned my own house by now. I would have been a lot more free. And like I said, I know, and I overcome the thoughts when they come, but then sometimes it's just like the devil gets to whispering in my ear, like, bro, you messed up so much of your time.
Yeah.
Can
you hold for me?
Yeah.
Hold on, but let me take a quick break. Two more hours to go. 888-7753-773. Quick break. Haik is coming in with the hate news, not the fake news. And I'll be back in a moment. From rage to responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father. And I returned to my father. And through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. So get from race to responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. We'll be right back.
a whole lot of mess going on in the world. Am I right or am I right? This is the end already of hour one of Bible Thumper Thursday, May 9th, 2024 AD. The Jesse Lee Peterson Show continues after this quick break. Fake news, not fake news break. The lines are full, guys, at this moment. But you can call in as JLP starts to wrap up with other callers. Call in to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show as you hear other callers begin to start to wrap up. And you can get in to get on hold, to get on air with Jesse Lee Peterson. 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, no I in Jesse. 1-888-775-3773. Commie Nonsense Network. CNN reports health professionals have long warned that ultra-processed foods, is that a real thing? Ultra-processed foods, or is it just processed foods, can have detrimental impacts on the body. But some options, like cereals and whole grain bread, so claims CNN, okay, take it with a grain of salt, might be true though, can be nutritious when enjoyed in moderation. Moderation. The scientific community, so-called, as if it's a community, also broadly agrees that processed meats and sugary beverages are foods you most need to avoid. You need to avoid those the most. So say the scientific community. And they may be right about that. Anyway, Crooked Joe Biden told Commie Nonsense Network yesterday, he would halt some shipments of U.S. weapons to Israel. And I mentioned this yesterday. If based Bibi, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, I use the term perhaps loosely, but compared to Biden, he's based, right? Hey, that he ordered a major invasion, if he ordered a major invasion of the southern city, Gaza city, of Rafah, which I thought that he did. But anyway, this comes as Israel continues to defy international globo-homo pressure to limit their campaign in the city, with Netanyahu this week saying Israel will defend itself aggressively, right? That's fine, whatever. Even if forced to stand alone. I kind of like Bibi for this. But anyway, kind of like how I kind of like Putin. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, separately, JLP does not necessarily, he may disavow what I say, of course. Anyway, separately, Crooked Joe Biden in the interview with Call Me Nonsense sought to reframe perceptions of the American economy, so-called American, touting strong job growth while questioning polls showing voters are still pessimistic and about the country's direction. What an evil person, huh? He's not one of the good Irishmen. Sean is one of the good Irishmen, if there is such a thing, right? I agree. Anyway, he's saying in CNN's most recent poll, Crooked Joe's approval ratings for the economy, 34%, and inflation, 29%. Wow, a third of the country are like suckers, huh? Remain starkly negative. The voters say economic concerns remain a high priority. High priority to them when choosing a presidential candidate this year. That means Trump may win. Who knows? Immigration, also known as invasion, the evil Joe Biden administration, which is to say Obama Part 3, right, is expected to propose a rule today that would crack down on so-called migrants ineligible to claim asylum. Hey, they're getting tough because the looks are too bad for them, the optics, according to two sources. Move comes as the black on the inside White House, just dark, evil White House, has tried to toughen their position on the U.S.-Mexico border and flip the script on Republicans who continue to criticize Crooked Joe Biden's immigration policies ahead of the November election. All politics, they don't care about doing right. The proposed rule would tighten the current system by allowing officials quickly to reject some illegals claiming asylum earlier in the process if they're found to be ineligible. In the 2023 fiscal year, there were nearly 2.5 million so-called migrant encounters, meaning illegal alien encounters at the southern border, according to federal data. What a mess, huh? I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show and your calls, Hour 2. ¶¶
got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what they've wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth. Instead of dividing them with lies, we're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Justin Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. There's one line open at 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. My biblical question for this week. The biblical question. What is real power? What is real power? What is it? I hear about it. What is it? The biblical question. We have, if you're like busy folks, you know, and you just don't have time to sit and watch this show live, but you would like to at least be listening to it live as it happened, you can go call. Now, this is a brand new number, and I'm having the worst time with this number. I'm not getting that. I'm like a Joe Biden. Pause. So a brand new number if you want to listen on your iPhone or iPad, all right? You can podcast the show, but you can listen. If I can get the number out, it ain't going to help me just in case. The brand new number for the listen line, and they can, even if they call the old number, they'll get the new number, right?
Yeah, it'll tell them.
Okay, that helps.
True.
605-615-4131. Wow! Are they deliberately trying to make this number difficult?
Maybe so. It's a conspiracy.
605-615-4131. It doesn't sound like a normal flowing number.
You got to call TalkStream Live and ask them to make it a permanent, easy-to-remember number. But I don't think that's too tall an order to request.
Amazing. Thank you. Also, to donate and have your comments read, and we are going to get your super chats here, to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. I would laugh to hate. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. All right. Or rebuildingtheman.com. So it's Thursday. It's the second hour of the show today. And every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Turn around and look at these people. What?
From the Lord. I got what I wanted from the Lord. I'll go back to Washington. Oh, yes, I will. I'm a Southern Baptist. They don't believe in tongues. But God said it. I want it.
And God said it. I want it. I'm not accustomed to seeing white people carry on like that. That's a black thing. What the? You become like what you hate. Amazing. I want to go quickly back to Dwayne out of Utah. And Dwayne is 29, and he feels like he's wasted his life. And we're discussing that, how to really get past that. Dwayne, are you still there?
Yes, sir. What's going on, Jesse?
Okay, all is well. And so I asked before the break, where did you get the idea that you had wasted your life at 29?
First of
from just what I know that I could have done within that time period, I could have pursued a trade. Like right now I'm driving trucks and I'm trying to get into IT. I have a certification and I'm pursuing some more. And I feel like if I would have just done that earlier, I would have been a lot more financially well off. And it just bothers me when I just comparing myself to others and what I could have potentially been.
And why do you compare yourself to anyone else?
The devil.
And why are you obeying the devil?
Because I'm in a fallen state.
And why not overcome the fallen state?
That's what I'm trying to do now. That's why I reached out to you.
Right now you drive a truck, you're doing what you do, right? You're earning a living, right?
Yes, sir.
Why not just be grateful for that? As you would if you had $1 million, why not be grateful for that?
That's a good question. I am grateful for where I am. In the last couple of years, I've done well for myself.
Why not just be grateful for where you are right now and what you're doing and never compare yourself to anyone else, because it is evil to compare yourself to anyone else, period. Why not just live your life and never compare it to anyone else?
That should be my solution from here forward.
Because when you compare yourself, your life to someone else, you want the same hell that they have. Because the people you compare your life to is in hell, and they are not happy, and you're going to take on their hell instead of just living your life being where you are, what you're doing, and never compare. Never think about being richer or poor, being anything, but just simply live your life. Why do you still give it to thoughts?
Sometimes they just get overwhelming, you know. And yesterday I was listening to one of your videos, and it was a story about some lady who had poisoned her boyfriend's child, and you said that anybody with anger has the same spirit in them.
Yes.
And sometimes I think about people who have crossed me, and I think about killing them too. And I say to myself, damn, Jesse is right. I need to overcome this spirit within myself, the spirit of wanting more money, anger, jealousy, envy. All of these things within me is a weakness. And I don't know where it came from, but when you say, don't attach yourself to the thoughts that you have, it's the perfect solution. But I'll try and detach myself from those thoughts, and it's almost like they'll just come back louder and louder and louder. It's like the thoughts don't want to let me go.
Well, and the reason that they come back louder and louder, louder and louder, is because they don't want to depart from you. They want to live in you. Evil lives in human beings, and that's why human nature is so evil. Evil lives inside your imagination and your emotions. And now that you are becoming aware that you're not your thoughts, you're not your feelings, you're not your body, you're none of those things, the awareness of that, which is coming from God, who allows you to see that you're none of those things, is causing an evil spirit to have a hissy fit. And it sounds like you're getting louder. It sounds like it may be your noise, but it's not. They are upset, the spirits, evil spirit, that you are now aware of them, and they're going to have to depart from your body. They're going to have to find a home in someone else.
Right.
So when they get loud, I want to encourage you to just watch them. Be aware. Just watch them. Don't argue with them. Don't call them good or bad. Don't call them you or anything. Just watch them, and I promise you, all evil spirit will be taken away from that old nature of yours will disappear, and you'll be free. It's not right. You. It has never been you. They are not you. They have never been you, but all your life you've been identified with them because you escaped into your imagination when you were traumatized as a kid, and you've been living in darkness calling it the light. And never, as long as you walk this earth, never compare yourself to anyone. That is pure evil, and there's no you to compare yourself to anyway. So like, it's a false comparison because there is no you that would so that you can compare yourself to anyone. It's all in your imagination, and it's not real. Are you doing the silent prayer?
Not consecutively, but on and off. Throughout the day, whenever I get these thoughts, I'll do the silent prayer. But I have to work more on doing it, being disciplined when I wake up and before I go to sleep. But throughout the day, I will do a silent prayer whenever those thoughts come up.
I want to encourage you to do the silent prayer, and like even during the day, if you get caught up in your head thinking about the past or the future, or comparing someone, yourself to others, or thinking you want more or you don't have enough, let those thoughts pass, and you let them pass by just being aware of them, and God will fight your battle. He will destroy those spirits. Because they are spirits inside your mind and your body, but not in you. It's not real.
Right.
Right. And so stop thinking about the past, which doesn't exist. Don't think about the future, which doesn't exist. Let it just stay present with God. All you have is right now, and right now is amazing. All right nows are right nows. And as long as you live in the present, you will have no regrets.
Okay.
That make sense?
Yes, sir.
So just let those thoughts pass about, oh, I waste my life, I'm 29. Because age is just a number. It doesn't really mean anything at all anyway. It's just a number that we use on the earth in order to function in the earth. But God is not into your age at all. He doesn't care one iota, nor does he think about you. In him, there is no age. It's only in the mind, in your mind. What do you think about that?
I think that me operating off of that wavelength would be better for me.
100%.
Instead of me thinking about what I didn't do or what I should have done or what's to come, because anything can happen. Life is so unpredictable. And me thinking about what I could have did or should have did is not going to change anything, which, like how you said, to be in the moment. What I do right now is what actually matters.
But thinking about it, the only reason you're thinking about what you should have done or what you did or did not do is because you're limiting your imagination. And it's evil that is telling you, oh, you waste your life. You should have done this. You were doing drugs. You've been in jail. You're doing that. That's Satan reminding you of that. This doesn't even exist. When you did those things, they happened then, and when they ended that day, it was over. It doesn't exist anywhere but in the imagination. It doesn't exist anywhere but in the mind. When you had breakfast this morning, and now it's noontime, breakfast doesn't exist anymore anywhere. It's just in your mind. It's not even real. And that's the devil that's bringing it to your mind so you can believe that it's real. So you can't live in the present. He wants you to live in the past or the future. He doesn't want you to be whole. He doesn't want you to be one. He wants you to be into time, thinking about the past or the future, which does not even exist. It's an illusion. You can't point to the past, and you cannot point to the future because it doesn't exist. It's just in the mind, given to you by the evil. Did you, and I got to run, but did you forgive your mother?
Yeah, I forgive my mother and my father.
Nice. Well, just do the prayer and go about your life one day at a time, one step at a time, and you're going to see, you're going to have a life that words cannot express. But never, right. Never, ever, ever compare yourself to anyone. That's evil. It's from the mind. It's not real, all right?
Yes, sir.
Let me know how it goes, man.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome, buddy. 888-775-3773. Melissa is a first-time caller out of Pennsylvania. Melissa, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
All is well.
Good. First, I just want to say God bless all of you there and... you know, to the other caller that just called in. And, you know, I was feeling the same way about life. And it's just really important to focus on prayer. And I was hearing, you know, him comparing himself to a lot of his friends. And, well, my friends have more, or they have more, and I don't. And I don't think it's really wrong to compare because in nature we're competitive people always. But if God wants something for us, he will let us know. And I think he just wants us to pray on it. And if he's not happy just, you know, doing truck driving and he thinks there's something more, it's probably because God put in his spirit there is something more that he should do. But pray on it and ask for that guidance to get you to where you think you should be in life or where you want to be.
You compare yourself to others?
Yes, I probably definitely have compared myself, you know, to my friends.
Do you compare yourself to others?
Yes.
And why do you do that?
I just believe it's probably just what we do as humans. And
but why do you do it? Why do you compare yourself to others?
I guess to see where my faults are and where I can be, think that I can be better.
Better than
so
what?
So my friend goes to the gym every day and is, you know, fixing her life. And I'm like, wow, well, look at me. Maybe I need to, you know, look into that or see what's going on in comparing myself. And if this person can do it, maybe I can. Sometimes people motivate us.
And when you say you pray on it, what is it that you pray on?
Me personally, I ask for God because I have this enormous opinion and voice. I'm very political. I would like him to set me somewhere. And I feel lost, like, you know, the guy driving truck. You know, I just like I have this gift.
You say you pray on what now? I'm sorry, Melissa. You pray on what?
To use me where I'm supposed to be in life. I feel kind of like the truck driver where thank you, God, for my job, uh-huh. My home, everything you've provided. But there's something out there for me that you need me to do, and I feel uneasy. So I'm looking in all these places like the previous caller, I guess.
But God is not going to use you at all. He doesn't want to use you. He's not thinking of you. Your prayers are in vain. You're praying to the devil about those things. Why do you think God would want to use you?
all because of the talents he has given me, that he has proven over the years that he is saying, well, you have this gift, I need you to use it. You need to make the right decisions, and maybe I can get you there.
God would never tell you, God would never tell you you need to make the right decision because you're incapable of making the right decision. You cannot do that on your own.
But we have free will.
You don't have a free will.
So we can do that.
Why do you think you have a free will?
Well, that's because when God had made us and the whole...
I'm talking about you. Why do you think you have a free will?
Well, because God let me choose him or evil. He let me.
So if that's true, why not will yourself out of the hell you're living in?
Because we're so oppressed by the spiritual realm and by Satan in this earth.
If it's true that you have a free will, why don't you will yourself out of the hell you're living in?
Probably just the inherently evilness that we have inside is in trying to fight that down.
But you said, Melissa, you said you have a free will. Why don't you will yourself out of the hell you're living in?
Well, sometimes we are...
We're not talking about we're talking about you. You said you said you have a free will, and right? So you're saying you have a free will, right?
Yes.
And I'm asking if you, Melissa, have a free will, why don't you will yourself out of the hell you're living in?
I think I tried to do that.
But you said you have a free will. But you say you have a free will. Why can't you do it if you have a free will?
Well, we're limited.
We're not talking about, we're talking about you, not will. We're talking about you.
I'm limited.
But if you have a free will, why are you limited?
Well, I have a free will to choose.
Why don't you choose to leave?
Why don't you get what I want all the time?
That doesn't make sense. You have a free will, but you don't have a... free will to get, you have a free will to choose, but you don't have a free will to get what you want, then you don't have a free will.
Well, sometimes there's roadblocks, and I guess
what?
People do have free will to choose.
We talk about
you. Roadblocks.
But you,
okay,
why don't you,
why
don't you wheel yourself around those roadblocks? You have your free will. Why don't you use it?
I guess it's easier said than done if the world...
But not if you have a free will. If you have a will, free will, you're in control, nothing can stop you if you truly have a free will. Why not use your will?
I guess I do try to use the will, but it's not reaping the rewards, I guess.
What we want
to get to that. I mean, there's so much into it. It's not just a simple question, you know, well, why don't I just, you know, make it happen?
But it is a simple question. You believe, I'm telling you that you don't have a free will. You believe that you do have a free will, but yet you won't will yourself out of nothing. You're up there banking God.
Well, we have a free will to choose.
No, you don't.
You can choose.
No, you don't. Choose your way out of your hell. I'm sorry?
How can you get to heaven? If you don't have free will, then you can't just die and go to heaven. You had to choose to go to heaven.
Where do you get that from? How do you choose? How do you choose to go to heaven?
Free will.
How?
Free will.
How you choose to go to heaven?
Into your heart. Well, there's rules.
What?
You know, I guess we're all different religions. How do you get to heaven? You have to follow the rules.
Melissa, you're already in hell. Why don't you will yourself out of your hell?
I'm trying.
I want you to know you don't have a free will. You've been deceived by evil to think that you have a free will. And you can have paradise, heaven right here on earth. And you don't have to wait until you die. If you realize that you're not in control of anything, you do not have a free will. You're being controlled. Right now, you are being controlled by evil.
So if we don't have free will, then what are we waiting around for, and why are we choosing good and bad?
You're not choosing good and bad. You have never in your whole life, nor can you ever choose good or bad. You are either of one or the other. Right now, you're of evil.
Well, if I choose to eat an apple or an orange, don't I have free will?
That's not the same thing.
But that's basically the same thing with life. I can
choose
an apple, or I can.
Life is not about choosing an apple.
A year job.
Nope. Not true.
What's that?
That's not true.
So are you saying that all everything is just? And I believe everything is written. You know, and God knows everything.
I don't know what you mean by everything is written either. What do you mean by that?
Well, God knows basically everything.
Let me ask. Do you want to be free?
Yes.
You got to drop your anger.
That's right. I do have, you know, I guess a temper. You know, so the anger I heard you speaking about today, and it's hard to drop in today's world, though, Jesse. I'm sure you know that.
No, that's not true.
You see the news.
It's not true. That's not true either.
Yeah, everything going around in the world, everything that's happening in our country.
Melissa.
People wake up mad.
Melissa, if you want to be free, you got to drop evil. You got to drop your anger.
How do you drop evil altogether anger?
By forgiving your mother for recreating you in her image, and God will forgive you. Your mother could not help herself. Her mother did it to her, and so on and so on. And when you forgive your mother for recreating you in her image because she made you angry when she imposed her will, and forgive your father for not protecting you from her, then you shall be free. You don't ask for forgiveness. You apologize for resenting them because they couldn't help themselves just like you can't help yourself. And God will forgive you when you forgive them. When you can admit you have this anger, you shall be free because anger is evil.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, I thank you, you know, for your words there. And, you know, I called kind of for a different reason and you brought something else to the table, though. And I definitely appreciate that. I think you're anointed and I love your podcast, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Will you forgive your mother?
My mother has passed, but yeah, I did. I did forgive her, and I'm working on my dad.
And how do you know you're forgiving your mother?
Oh, I mean, I took care of her until her last day, and
I'm sorry to hear that.
I think it's.
How do you know you have forgiven your mother for what she's done to you? Even though she's dead, she still control you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see for yourself.
I forgave her. I don't forgive. I think it's like my dad in the living world. You know, that's probably the issue. So when you say those things for the listeners to really
You're angry at your father?
I did. Actually, I did my DNA, found him, and, you know, we have a relationship now, but not very easy. There's a lot of sadness and anger there. Like,
and why are you angry at him?
Dropping the ball.
But you don't have a right to be angry at him. But no matter what situation happens, there's never a reason to be angry.
That's a hard pill to swallow, though.
Why? Hold on for me, Melissa. Hold on, Melissa. Let me take a quick break. Back in a moment. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. I do personal shout outs for you. I do them all the time. It's amazing. Whatever your personal shout out is, let me know. Birthday shout outs, weddings, anniversaries, congratulations, encouragement. Go to cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. For personalized shout out. Also, check out our merch. We have amazing merch. Amazing merch, all right? Rebuildingdemand.com/merch. Class store for the merch. Check it out. I want to go back to Melissa, out of first time caller out of Pennsylvania. Melissa, I said that there's never, ever, 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 but ever, 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 no reason, no how, no why, no what, a reason to be angry. Why can't you forgive your father?
Like I was saying before, I think for the abandonment and knowing that I was around and just kind of like, well, I'm going to do what I want. And, you know, when you're a parent and you look at your child and you're saying, wow, you know, I would never leave my child. And then you have to deal with it as an adult. It does get a little hard. So there are.
Have you asked him why did he leave?
Yeah. You know, there was a lot of issues between him and my mom. They were both on their own career paths. And, you know, they.
Mother was not an easy person to deal with. And your father could not handle her. And he loved you. He just didn't know how to handle your mother. And when fathers leave, they don't leave their children. They leave the mothers. But the mothers are so evil, they tell the children that the father left them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would highly recommend, do what you want. But if you want to be free and you want to know God, you got to forgive your earthly father. You would never know God. You would never be of God, and you would never be of love as long as you resent your father.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do thank you for those words, and that was another thing I was going to add in when you had said what do you think is like the most, I think it was something about...
Will you forgive your father?
Biggest powers?
Will you
yes, I tried. I mean...
But you haven't tried.
I don't want to say I tried, because that's an excuse.
I'm sorry?
But I did. I said, I don't want to say I tried because that was an excuse, but when we kind of met each other, everything was good and fun. But then when we got into the relationship more, it became harder.
The reason it became harder because you have not forgiven him.
Right. The emotions drew up again. And I guess what you're trying to say, you know, is probably that we need to be careful and not let our emotions.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm telling you, you need to go to your father and apologize to him for resenting him.
Okay.
And when you forgive him, God will forgive you. And then he will bring you out of the darkness of your imagination, and you can finally have a life. Because you're limiting your imagination, thinking that you're one with God, and you're not.
Mm-hmm. It feels like that, you know, but I do understand what you're saying, and I know that love is
ultimate
power.
What am I saying?
Well, you told me that in order for me to be able to really connect with God the Father, that I need to really forgive my father and mother on earth, and then probably work on everyone else after that.
No, don't work on nobody but you. You can't help anybody.
I don't hold a lot of, you know, resentment or anything. It's just...
What?
It's there, though.
You say what now?
You know, I feel like I don't hold a lot of resentment.
No, you have a lot. You have it?
There.
Ain't no such thing as a lot. If you have it, you have it. You're evil.
Right.
Whether you're a lot evil or a little evil, you're still evil.
Right. That's understood.
So go and forgive your father and your mother, and God will forgive you. You're wrong. You're never going to know God. You can hang it up. You can read the Bible. You can hoop and holler. You can carry it on. But if you don't forgive your earthly father by admitting you're wrong for being angry at him and your mother, you're never going to be free. You can hang that up.
And I've heard you say that quite a few times, not just today, but other days. Where do you get that? Why do you personally think that we have to forgive the parents on earth? What attachment does that have to our salvation or freedom?
I don't understand that question.
Well, you keep saying, you know, you have to forgive your earthly father.
Didn't God say to you before you enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must forgive? You must go and forgive?
Yes.
That's where I got it from.
Yeah. I guess I just didn't feel like there was so much, you know, I don't feel like I can't, like, move forward or anything. I don't.
Nope, you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere as long as you have anger in your heart. You ain't going nowhere. Ain't no such thing as moving forward.
Right.
But anyway, I gotta run. I suggest you do the silent prayer. Have you given that a chance?
Yeah. I'm going to take your words definitely into consideration and figure out something here and take your advice and see if I see any changes. And I appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome. Are you doing the silent prayer?
The silent prayer, I'm not sure.
Go to rebuildingaman.com/prayer. I want you to do your little hooping and holler, waste your time prayer first. And when you're done hooping and holler, be still and know God.
All right.
Let me know how it goes, Melissa.
I will. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Bye. 888-7753-773. Super chat.
Santino gave 3 coffees, and it was yesterday early morning, and somehow I missed it. Coffee spelled backwards is Evok.
What?
Evok. Which is funny because until I have my coffee, I do not give e boop about anything. Have a good day, y'all.
Thank you. You too. Amazing.
Sorry, Santino.
Thank you.
I missed it yesterday, and then I had to bleep it. Pastor Chatelet said, most churches teach their congregants they are basically good people who can just sin less to earn God's grace. It's sickening but expected. He's responding to yesterday's Jubilee segment with Jake and...
Yeah, the churches are synagogues, guards of Satan. They lie to you. They just lie to you. They put fear in you. They make you feel hopeless and... And somehow, when you get to heaven, it's going to get better. They're lying to you. Amazing. Thank you.
Holy Gremlin gave a couple of Cash App donations.
Holy Gremlin!
Saying, for eternal hell/death doesn't exist. Jesus saved all.
Yeah.
And with another, Satan and the demons are saved too. Isn't that amazing?
Well, I don't know about all that. You take the joke too far. The demons are not saved. Believe me. And they don't even want to be saved. Amazing. Thank you.
Tim bought a coffee. Another amazing show. You're totally right that this is a spiritual battle, and the intellect is a factory of evil ideas. Explosion emoji and white strong arm emoji. I may have read that one.
Amazing. Thank you.
Roy Murphy with a Cash App donation. Jesse Lee, the man with the plan.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roy.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Tim. Scott, not to be confused with the Rhino Senator, the real one, donated on Cash App Bond JLP saying, for Manhood Hour yesterday.
Manhood Hour. Every Wednesday, third hour of the show is Manhood Hour. Thank you.
Over on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, someone says, what if a thought to do something comes across your mind, which are all lies, right? And you didn't do it. And then a couple of days later, your wife asks you about it. Was that thought a lie? I threw a bottle away that she wanted to refill. And that thought to refill the bottle crossed my mind 2 days prior to her asking me about the bottle.
Oh, God. What did I say?
He threw a bottle away that his wife later asked him about because she wanted to refill it. Uh-huh. And he had that thought about it. But was that a lie about refilling the bottle?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it might not have been.
Yeah, I just have no idea. Thank you.
Elias says, Jesse, what's wrong with the blacks?
What's wrong with the blacks? Some blacks are starting to wake up. Isn't that amazing? Those that it was intended to wake up. Most blacks or most people are not going to wake up anyway. But some black people, men and women, are starting to wake up. Isn't that amazing? They just didn't know. They didn't hear the truth. They just didn't know. And especially they didn't know they had to forgive mama. Because in the black community, mama is God and grandma. But now they're realizing that it's the wrong guy. Thank you.
He continues. He said, Jesse, parentheses, pause. What's wrong with the blacks? Pause. Joe Biden's teleprompter must be black and slow.
Amazing. Thank you.
Alpha American N-word guy says, he asks on X, why is the ego death so draining, man? I've been trying to do this since I was a kid, but every time I hop in the storm, I lose all my energy and it feels like I'm dying. I don't even know what's at the end of it anymore.
That's why it's called death. Because it is dying and you have never known what's at the end. Amazing, huh? Thank you.
Jesse Lee for VP bought 5 coffees.
Thank you.
I've been a longtime listener, and recently I introduced my mother to your show. She thinks she thinks it's amazing. Could you give Busha a happy Mother's Day shout out? Polish for grandmother. She white.
Amazing.
Mother, grandmother, great grandmother. All the best to everyone.
Thank you. So this weekend is Mother's Day, huh?
That's right.
And it's weird.
It's also church on Sunday.
Yeah, church on Sunday. So what this weekend is Mother's Day weekend?
Yep. It's Mother's Day on Sunday.
What the?
Mother's Day weekend. Is it a whole weekend now?
I mean, this kinda. Sunday.
Yep.
Amazing. Thank you. And happy Mother's Day to all the ladies. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse Lee, for VP, your 5 coffees.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And happy Mother's Day to your mother, and I wish her well. Enjoy your Mother's Day, Mama. Relax and just don't expect too much. And enjoy your day. Happy Mother's Day.
Are Polish white? He said Polish. Sure. He said Busha is Polish for grandmother. Are Polish white? And then he said, she white. I guess they are white. He said it.
What else color would they be? I've never seen a black Polish.
Fair point. You got me. Gregatron bought a coffee. Jesse, the liberal media is ticked. They just can't get the great white hope.
I know.
They just can't get them.
They're having the worst time trying to get Trump.
Everything seems to be working out in Trump's favor. It's amazing.
Yeah.
The Democrats are ticked, like the Pope.
The Pope is ticked. What manner of man is Trump? The wind and sea obey him. Amazing. Thank you.
Danny Moore bought a coffee. All right, Jason and the lads. In respect to my Are We Our Experiences question, you know, he asked, Are We Our Experiences?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even sure I know what it means. It just popped into my head, laughing face with tears coming out. So if I tasted honey, did I not experience the taste of honey? Did I experience the taste of honey? I'm a bit confused, laughing face with tears coming out. Love the show, boys. Keep it up. Strong arm.
Thank you, and thank you for your support. I appreciate it. Amazing. So stop there.
Okay.
And then we'll come back to it. Thank you all. I want to get some calls in here. I'm looking at the clock, and we will come back to the super chat. Devin is a first-time call out of Missouri. Devin, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to talk to you about what is true power.
What is real power?
Yeah, do you mean like in a person or just in general?
It's the
like what makes us powerful.
It's the biblical question: what is real power?
I would think personally, I've found that being humbling yourself, and not always thinking you're right, but always being willing to be proven wrong, really allows people to become powerful, or in general, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can't put my thoughts in about the biblical question until Sunday. I will put my little two cents in on Sunday. Do you believe that you have real power?
Personally, I don't really. I do think that we do have a lot of power, like, consciously, but like in this world around us, that power is being stripped away, obviously.
So do you believe you have real power?
Yes. I think that we're gifted by God with that at our birth. We can use it or abuse it.
And so you believe that you, Devin, have real power?
Yeah.
And you have the real power.
To, like,
you have real power.
Reality, the future.
I'm sorry?
We have the power to manifest a different future, to change it.
You can change your future.
We all have that power.
You can change your future?
Yeah.
And where is the future?
The future is, I would say, still not made yet.
If it's not made, how do you have a future? Something that's not made, how do you have a future?
By making it.
And how can you make the future?
By being aware of the present.
What?
By being aware of the here and now.
And how can you do that?
Just like not being caught up in the past or the future, but just being in the here and now and the present.
But how can you make your own future?
Like by being in the here and now and manifesting.
How can you make your own future? How can you
consciously?
How can you
being aware of it and.
Devin, I got to run. I really appreciate you responding to the biblical question, and I'll put my two cents in on Sunday, all right?
All right. I had another question, though.
Okay.
About forgiveness. I had my dad, he took the vaccine, and he started experiencing dementia afterwards. And he kind of changed as a person after that. And he always had like suicidal tendencies before, but after the vaccination, it became even worse, especially with the dementia.
And your question is what?
Our last conversation, he was like blaming me, and a week later he killed himself, and he never talked to me after that. So I had like a really hard time trying to forgive him. And after watching your show, I realized that it was me that was wrong for not forgiving him, and that I should have been more understanding to his situation. And after that happened, after forgiving him, I realized that the hardest thing to do is actually forgiving myself. And what advice do you have for people that have forgiven their parents, but afterwards are having trouble forgiving themselves?
And who is the self that you need to forgive?
You know what I mean.
No.
Forgiving your past.
You don't have a past.
The actions you've made in the past.
You don't have a past.
What do you mean by that?
You don't have a past. Where's the past?
It's gone.
So how can you forgive something that doesn't exist?
Yeah. All right. I think I see what you're saying.
Yeah, there's no past. Let the devil keep reminding you of that because he wants you to believe that you can judge yourself. Don't believe it. You did the best you could do at that time. That's all that exists now is now. So there's no you to hold anything against.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you.
All right, so don't think, when the devil tried to make you think about your father and what you should or should not have done, let that pass. Don't hold on to that at all. That's a lie.
Yeah, and I noticed that the devil always tries to keep you in the past.
Absolutely.
And away from the future.
That's right. So let all thoughts about past or future go away. Don't believe it and just live in the present. You're fine. God is not holding anything. God is not holding anything against you. So don't you do that as well.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Let me go to Sarah. Sarah's gone. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Thomas out of San Jose, California. Thomas, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Jesse, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So, I had a couple of questions for you, but I know that due to time, we may not be able to get to both. But I heard the biblical question on when I was on hold, and it's a doozy. I want to take a crack at that one.
What is real power?
Very easy answer, and it only requires one word. Real power is truth.
It's what?
Truth.
Truth. Real power is true. Amazing.
Yes.
Thank you, man.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Thank you, Thomas. I got to take a break. One more hour to go. Hake is coming in with the hate news. And I'll be back in a moment. One line open if y'all want to jump in. 888-77-JESSE.
Hey, listen, before I ask my question, I want to thank you so much. The silent prayer. You know, I'm 50 years old. At home, we have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I got to tell you, introducing the silent prayer to my family, instead of just sitting down and saying the same old prayer over and over again before we eat our meal, to just be silent, bringing all thoughts into captivity. Brother, that has been such a huge, huge blessing in our lives. I just want to encourage anyone to try that out. It's amazing to look around after we've done our silent prayer before we eat, to see the excitement in my kids' faces. Like, oh yeah, Dad, I had a bunch today. Or the other one will be like, yeah, you know, I had a couple things that I've been thinking about. It really takes root, Jesse. And so I want to thank you so much. And ever since then, it's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Tony. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. You're going to know God and his love. It's going to be amazing, man.
little watch out for AI this election. AI deep fakes. Don't be tricked. Anything that you see could be fake or hear could be fake. Not a real person or not the real person or whatever. I don't know. Or it may not actually have happened. Stuff like that. But the evil states have wanted to play mama about the AI deepfakes. And a little update on those Astro World deaths. Remember Travis Scott, the black rapper guy? There was a crowd surge, meaning people were trampled or killed somehow and different things. There's lawsuits going on even right now. What a mess. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. Bible Thumper Thursday, May 9th, 2024 A.D., stay tuned for hour three, last hour of JLP, coming right up. There is one line open. You can call in right now to get on hold, to get on air with JLP. During Hake News, not fake news. After the Jesse Lee Peterson, of course, the Hake Report, then Joelle Friday TV, then American Anchor Baby. Go to jesseleepeterson.com/show and scroll down to the network section or click on the network button. It'll jump you down to the network section on that web page, and you'll see Hake, Joelle Friday, and Anchor Baby, all listed there, along with Bill Lockwood, too, by the way. Arizona's election workers are bracing for deep fakes ahead of this November, per the far-left female-run outlet, The Skim. The mama state's trying to head off the AI deep fakes, but only pretending like it's the conservatives and the so-called right-wing and the Trump supporters who are going to be falling for deep fakes or subject to deep fakes rather than the liberals who lie more and fake stuff more, such as fake hate crimes, right? In my opinion, the key swing state, Arizona, gathered dozens of election workers, mostly liberals probably, right, from across their counties for what's believed to be the first of its kind deep fake drill. For 2 days, they experienced scenarios involving AI generated voice messages, but it's not a real person. It's AI generating that voice message. And also attempted hacks and fake social media posts. By the end of it all, one worker reportedly said the takeaway is trust no one. That's right. You don't necessarily know. Even if you read it in the mainstream media, don't necessarily believe it. Right? The event resulted in a training document that organizers plan to share with poll workers across the country. Probably liberal made. Who knows? Arizona is far from alone in their attempts to address the threat of deepfakes and AI ahead of 2024, the presidential election. One analysis found that 39 states have either passed or introduced legislation to protect elections from AI-generated or altered disinformation. That includes New Mexico, which made it illegal to use, intentionally, AI-generated content to sway voters. Others like Florida and Wisconsin require campaigns to disclose when they use AI in ads, political ads, right? It comes as some election officials have already dealt with deep fakes this year, prompting the federal government to outlaw AI-generated robocalls. Huh. Still, it's an uphill battle against the technology, considering it can take just seconds. I'm snapping my fingers to generate fake images. Election workers who already face conspiracy theories and violent threats, which is some truth to it, right? Some facts to it, are on the front lines to protect the integrity of the elections. Is that what they're really there for? Now the threat of the AI is so pervasive that some experts are calling on this year's presidential race, they're calling it the AI election. Interesting, huh? Sort of. Astroworld, those Houston deaths and injuries, this Travis Scott crowd surge from a few years back, actually. Ongoing cases, 9 out of 10 wrongful death lawsuits stemming from the 2021 Astroworld Music Festival has been settled. That of Madison Dubisky, 23-year-old Houston resident, one of 10 people killed in the crowd crush November 5th, 2021 AD. 2.5 years ago, something like that. Concert by rap superstar Travis Scott. He's one of 20 people sued, including Live Nation, Apple. They were live streaming it. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP, Hour 3. ¶¶
to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what they've wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races. I'm not hearing it, that's what I mean. Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. Also, we're rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show already. It's amazing. The third hour. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. How come I'm looking at that?
I'm working on something. Don't
worry. 888-7753-773. Amazing. The brand new biblical question this week, well, is what, Thursday now? The brand new biblical question, what is real power? What is real power? What is it? You heard about it. What is real power? To donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com, buymeacoffee.com/Jesse Lee Peterson, or rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com. All right? And if you want to listen to the show, and you can, while you're active, you know, exercising, making breakfast, lunch, and dinner, walking around, and you just can't sit and watch the show, you can listen to it on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line at 605-615-4131. That's 605-615-4131. 5-4-1-3-1. Amazing, all right? And also, I don't know what I said about buy me a coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. Not Jesse Lee Peterson. JLP Talk. It's Thursday. And there, every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, are God. You ready? Are you ready? I don't feel your faith. Are you ready? Are you
ready? Amazing. Bible Thumper Thursday. And we take all calls, but we try to give the Bible Thumper a little bit more time on Thursday because on Thursday, you know, the Thumper is a little more difficult to deal with this. They like constantly think of scripture. It's like they don't communicate with you, right? And so what I do, I'm trying to do is giving them a little, we take all calls, but I try to give them a little more time. All right?
And Bible Thumper!
I have this amazing I want my producer, Sean, to respond to this before I get into it. And then I get to your call. We're going to get to your super chats in this last hour. We're going to try to squeeze everything in. Everything. I want my producer, Sean, just for a few minutes here, to respond to this next scripture. And it's about being angry. And Sean is my producer. He's also one of the experts here on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. And again, we're going to get to all of your calls. All right? Amazing. We're going to move call and super chats. So you want to deal with 1 James 19:20?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires.
Amazing. It's interesting, too, because the humans think they have the same anger. They think, oh, God, Jesus had anger. They think it's the same, but go ahead.
Yep, and there's another quote. I forget who said it, but it goes something like, a wise man has something to say, but a fool always has to say something.
Right.
A fool always has to say something, but a wise man has something to say.
Right.
Something like that.
Something like that.
And when people see all the craziness going on, like when we report on news stories and when people look out into the country and see it's, you know, destruction, and they get angry about it and they think they're righteous
in
getting angry about it. And they think, oh, I'm seeing all this evil, but they're not looking at themselves.
Yeah.
So they look outward and they see the evil and they get angry about it, but they never turn that back in to themselves. And so when it says, you know, they should be quick to listen and slow to speak, it's the opposite of what most people do.
Sure is. You can say that again.
You know, most people are quick to speak on things, but slow to just sit there and listen. So I wanted to show this first clip, this first soundbite. It's about the attack on Trump and how people are so happy about it, happy to see him. They think he's suffering, and they think he's going to be going to jail, and they're so happy. They're so happy to see it. So talking about rejoicing in evil.
I never really understood as much as I do now when it says woe unto the man or woman that rejoices in someone else's pain, misery.
Yeah.
This is alive and well in these folks, too. This is from the Daily Mail talking about rejoicing in evil, right? The Daily Mail and Yahoo. Biden's former press secretary shared a ghoulish?
Yeah.
A theory on why Republicans are still supporting Trump. And Whoopi Goldberg also suggested that Alcatraz reopened after Sonny Hostin said Trump should be thrown in the clink. Watch this compilation.
I think many of them want to be close to power. They also assume or have this thought in their mind that maybe Donald Trump will go away. Maybe he'll go to jail. Maybe he will die, not to be too morbid, but maybe, I mean, he's not a young man.
You cannot let Donald Trump be a runaway train in that courtroom. No. To prove a point, put him in the clink. Oh, why not? Put him in the clink.
I don't want this to sound like I'm doing wishful thinking.
Yes.
But which prison would be best?
I know which one.
I'm going to give you Michael. Well, that's what I asked. Number one is Rikers. But, you know, I'm okay if he goes to Alcatraz and they reopen it.
What about Guantanamo Bay? Okay?
Yeah. Well, that'd be close to Mar-a-Lago. Melania can come and visit.
That's right.
Ha 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 ha
What a mess.
So funny.
Wow. Gosh. What a, those females are evil, man.
You can see it in their eyes.
Yeah.
They literally look like demons.
I wonder, I already know the question I'm asking, but how do they live with themselves with all that evil?
It just feels good.
What a mess.
Yep. But people will look at that and go, that's so evil. I can't believe what's happening in this country. Meanwhile, their own lives are, you know, falling apart.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Wow. I love the way you put that together, yep. too, to see the reality of evil.
Yep, and it's not just people on talk shows. It's not just, you know, The View. But he's getting it from all sides. So when he's outside the courtroom talking about how, you know, this is election interference, that's the only thing that this case is about, there's no case. The reporters, you know, he has the gag order on him. So the reporters are trying to goad him. They're trying to get him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So according to Breitbart, reporters this week have asked Donald Trump questions about the jury and witnesses that, if he answered, would be a violation of Judge Mershon's gag order and possibly land him in jail. One reporter on Monday shouted, "Is Michael Cohen a liar?" He was also asked, "What do you think of the jury, as well as any thoughts about the witnesses?" So they're asking him, like, "What do you think? What do you think?" They're trying to get him to say things against that would land
him. Do they realize that's what they're doing, trying to make him?
I can't prove it, but right. I'm sure they're smart enough. They know exactly what they're doing,
and they know what he cannot say at this point,
right?
Because of the gag order,
right? So, again, according to Breitbart, Trump ignored the questions and instead criticized the gag order, suggesting he might risk going to jail to maintain his constitutional right to speech. So he's one step ahead of the game, and he also knows if he does get thrown in jail, whether it be for a couple hours or overnight or something, it's going to be, end up being good for him.
Yeah,
it's just going to make people like him more.
Even more so.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
We played a clip a couple days ago about how, I forget who it was, but he's becoming more popular with Black Americans because they see the justice system going after him.
Oh, yeah.
And
they
can relate to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the mugshot and now him possibly going to jail for a few hours, you know, I can't see how it would be bad for him.
Amazing.
But who knows?
Hake has come in for 1 minute, Hake. Hake has somebody you want to respond to. 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. And so you're saying what here?
Just to clarify that clip.
Go ahead.
Because I'm kind of a boomer, and I wasn't watching the video, so it may be obvious to video watchers, but for boomers and audio podcast listeners, that extra laughing at the end of that View thing, that was added, right? That's a leading question. Okay. Just to make sure that extra wild laughter on top of the wild laughter.
It was obvious that it was added.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, man.
Pardon me, I'm a boomer.
That's right. And best to be sure.
All
right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Thanks. Yeah, I was trying to be funny.
Come on,
it was funny.
It was really funny. I'm like, I'm almost sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. And so before you guys leave, I want you guys to respond to a caller.
Okay.
888-7753-773. Let me go to James out of New York. James, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, Jesse?
All is well, James.
Can you hear me okay?
Go ahead. Yeah, you're doing well.
Yeah. I had a quick question about how God made us in his image. I wanted to know, when did, like, at what stage of our lives is that supposed to be interpreted? Like, is that supposed to be when we're conceived? Is that supposed to be when we are awakened and follow his path? When we say, like, we're made in God's image, what does that mean?
Hake.
I like that question. The second, I didn't hear the first question. I was distracted.
It was the same question.
Okay.
He wanted to know, if I'm wrong, repeat it, but he wanted to know at what point in our lives that we are created in God's image, right, James?
Yeah. At what point are we made in his image? Is it at our conception? Is it when we awaken and, you know, follow God? Or is it when we die? Like, I just want to know how are we created in God's image?
Whoa. So it's like you're asking two questions, though.
I'm sorry.
You said, at what point is it happened? And then you want to know how we are created in his image.
Yes, exactly.
Which one do you want to know?
Whatever you guys want to answer. I honestly would be happy with either point.
Go ahead. Hey.
My personal opinion on this, although I don't know, but I'm going to do my best shot at it, is that once we're made, we are made in his image. The Bible says God made man upright, but man has pursued many inventions, many schemes. And so we're made in his image, but we have to return to being in his image by not pursuing all of our schemes.
Okay, Sean, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it happening at conception, and I agree with that. I think at conception, as soon as the spark of life is given to us, that is the moment we're made in God's image. And as Jesse talks about, we can be corrupted in the womb if our mother is angry. And then, of course, as soon as we're born through the woman, we have that anger, and we have to return to that image of God that we were made in at conception. Did you say something?
He has stuff going on in the background.
Oh, okay. I heard something once, a concept about some people are told while they're meditating to assume the physical, like assume the face you had in the womb. Like to have your face so relaxed that you have whatever face you had in the womb is what you're supposed to assume when you're in that relaxed state, which is no face at all. It's no expression at all. Your face is so relaxed that that you're pretty much like nothing. So that reminds me of the whole being made in God's image too. That it happens at conception.
Yeah, I've heard a lot, even like scientifically, they say like when the sperm makes contact with the egg, a spark of light can be seen, like when they like look at it through a microscope or whatever. And like I've always heard that God is light. God is like even how he created the universe, let there be light. And then when I saw that, it made me really think about it. Is what we're being made in his image is the light that comes from him.
Yep. I mean, conception, consciousness, like at conception, we're given that spark of consciousness.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of people conflate it with like our bodies, like how we look, like as a human being.
Right.
And I know
there's
a lot of talk, and I don't think that's necessarily what it is. I think God gave us our body so we can function in our environment in the world, but his image is probably not a physical one, but maybe a spiritual one.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you, James. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the knowledge. Have a good day. Okay.
You too.
Thank
buddy.
You.
888-775-3773. And that is for that report, sir?
Yep.
Thank you, man. My experts, folks. Let's do some super chat hate before you leave.
Super chat. Nice idea.
And we got to get back to the phone calls.
Over on Cash App, Bond JLP on Cash App, Chalice donated saying thanks.
Thank you.
Jed bought 3 coffees. Thank you to the team for all you do, Jed.
Thank you. Amazing.
Games for Rec with a couple of diamonds. This is a biblical question, I believe.
response.
What is real power? What's real power?
Real power makes grown men kneel. Romans 14:11. Bible thumper.
Amazing. Thank you. I'll put my little 2 cents in on Sunday. I appreciate it.
Aries 1 with a diamond, no message.
Thank you.
It's Midnight Uber Driver. Your Uber driver bought a coffee. Jesse, E.T. is now my favorite movie because it's about an illegal alien that just wants to go home. Lastly, Hake, I sent you a video on X what I thought were refugees renting outside the college campus. You should show it. Thank you for the tip.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you.
Brooke bought 3 coffees. Greetings from Australia. Jesse, the world needs more good, honest people like you. God bless you. Thanks, emoji.
Thank you. And thanks for helping us to help others. I appreciate it.
The Key bought a coffee. Greetings, JLP and crew. The Cain and Abel story is a beautiful foreshadow of our Father's plan of salvation for his children. It's important to know Abel's sacrifice was acceptable because it was a blood sacrifice lamb versus Cain's offering, which came from the land, which was cursed. Life is in the blood. When Cain murdered Abel, his blood cried out from the ground. It was an illustration of our salvation, Jesus' blood sacrifice for our sins, the final atonement.
Amazing. Thank you. Amazing.
It's me, Zenya. Loved the interpretation that can be passed on to those who are not religious. I guess referring to Sean's interpretation of the Cain and Abel story.
If you missed it, Sean was here, my producer, and an expert here. He gave his interpretation of the Cain and Abel story. It was interesting. You can podcast that. Thank you.
Also from It's Me, Zenya, referring to Biden, I read in Hake News, Biden talking about the economy's actually doing all right.
Oh, yeah.
She says, don't believe your lying eyes.
It's amazing that they're just saying that to us. They're just telling us that and expect us to just believe it. Isn't that amazing? It's like, you're not really spending all this money at the market. You're not really spending all that money for gas. You're not really spending your money on stuff that one time was $10, now it's $20 for the same thing, and you get less. What the? It's amazing. Thank you.
Justin Childers bought a coffee. Speaking of biblical ancestry, you know how Sean said we're all descendants of Cain?
Right.
He said Japheth is the patriarch of the white people. And in Genesis 9:27, God said he would enlarge Japheth over everybody else. Talk about politically incorrect. Japheth was also the older brother, so the whites are the older brother of the other races, he says Justin. Take the whites out and it all turns into a third world country. We need more Japhethite babies, a.k.a. white babies.
Oh, a mess.
I never heard that one.
Me either. Never heard that before, but thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
I appreciate
Justin.
It.
As always, Josh bought a Cash App donation. No message.
Thank you.
At this point, just call me Mike. Coffee. Man, this fentanyl addiction is no joke. I'm so broke I couldn't afford Super Chats for weeks. Single tear emoji. But seriously, there was two mamas, Mormon missionaries. Two Mormon missionaries who was coming to my place trying to get me into their church. Didn't know how to get rid of them. So I just started to show them some of your videos. Now they don't even want to talk with me. Laughing face sideways. Salute and heart.
That's a nice way to get rid of them.
Funny.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Mike Young bought a coffee. Hey, Jesse and James Hake. Have you guys heard from Tony from California? I miss the old man. I hope he didn't die.
Amazing.
Various emojis.
Nice. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike Young.
Yeah.
It's me, Zenya. Youth is wasted on the young. At least that caller realized at 29, referring to your 29-year-old caller, the trucker. Yeah.
Amazing call.
And not 45 like so many. He sounds like he's on the right path, unlike those grown babies in colleges.
Amazing. Thank you.
You can't compare yourself to others because it's a losing battle, says It's Me, Zenya. Didn't we get this from Cain and Abel discussion earlier? Good point.
That's right. Thank you.
Bobby Steele, now a member, monthly supporter on buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. Answer to the biblical question.
What is real power?
Real power is having the authority to create and to define what is good and what is evil. This is something that only God has. Humans just think they have it, power, because they chewed on that juicy fruit, the knowledge of good and evil, I think. God bless you, Grandpa Jesse.
Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I will respond to the biblical question on Sunday, if the Lord is willing and Crete don't rise. Thank you.
Stephen from Rotterdam, the Netherlands. Biblical question answer.
What is real power?
Quoting Trump saying, I am the storm. Real power comes from God destroying the false ego and your false imagination. When the fake you disappears, the real you remains. You'll have real power, but you won't think about it as such. You just tell the storm to go sit down and be quiet, smiling. Words are silly things when you really think about it. Love y'all at Bond, heard around the world.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll respond on Sunday. Thank you.
Someone's coffee, referring to Sean's conversation with that one caller, the Christian. Caller, do you recognize Christ as your brother? So says the caller. Sean, he is my brother, whether I recognize him or not. That means you recognize him, says this someone with the coffee. Why not just say, yes, I do, to Sean? And Sean's not here at this moment?
Right, Sean's not here right now.
So maybe he'll address it later, but thank you.
Thank you.
Sion bought three coffees. Hi, Jesse. People always want to be like...
Sean's like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. Defiant, stubborn Irishman. I like it.
What the? Thank you.
Sion bought three coffees. Hi, Jesse. People always want to be like somebody. That's why you see identical style people everywhere now. Everybody wants to have what someone have, and they go into debt trying to keep up with others. LOL. Lots of laughs.
Trying to keep up with the Kardashian.
Terrible.
Amazing. Thank you.
Wayne, I am that I am. Hey, Jesse, I went to forgive my mother, and she said to me, boy, shut up and pass me the chicken. I said to her, woman, get your own chicken. LOL. She died 3 months later when she realized that she could no longer handle me. Mama dead. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. What the? Devil emojis.
She did. Amazing. Thank you.
Over on Rumble, Proverbs 8:1, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil.
Amazing. Nice.
Broken man says on Rumble with a Rumble rant, biblical question.
What is real power?
Real power is being a man according to the poem If by Rudyard Kipling. Team Christ.
Amazing poem. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's stop there.
Okay.
And remember when you pick up?
All right.
We'll pick up on this. Let me go quickly to Jacob, a first-time call out of California. Jacob, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello, sir.
Hey, Jacob.
Hi. So recently I found out that I had a stalker, and he stole a lot from me, and he went around saying a bunch of stuff that I never was, and he also stole. I had a conception idea for anti-gravity. And I, at the time, I didn't know I was being stalked, and somehow that got out. I didn't know. And I'm just curious from you. You're such a religious person. I'm wondering, how do I forgive this person?
By not being angry at them. Don't be angry at them about it. There's never, ever a reason to be angry.
So yeah.
Just let the anger pass and move on with your life.
Move on with my life. I mean, it's something I think about a lot, and especially lately since I found out last August of 2023.
Found out what?
So that I was being stalked
a
person.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. 888-7753-773. Let me take a quick break. When I come back for your phone call, the treasure chest is now open on DLive. And we're going to move as many calls as possible. I'll be back in a moment. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Welcome back. 888-773-7773-888-77-JESSE. Couple announcements. The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. James Hake is on fire. The Hake Report.com from 9 to 11 a.m. And then Joel Friday TV, he black, at 11 a.m. Pacific time. Joel Friday TV from 11 to noon. And after Joel Friday, the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby at 12 noon. Energy and talent and geniuses. All in one. You don't want to miss the American Anchor Baby at 12 noon. And we have a brand new episode of The Fall Estate tomorrow. Every Friday at 12 noon, the Fall Estate. I had a very interesting discussion with Leslie and Lindsay Glass. Lindsay Glass. They are mother and daughter, author duo, and co-founder of the nonprofit organization Reach Out Recovery. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
I put down drugs and alcohol a long time ago. I don't want to say I got involved with the bad crowd. I was the bad crowd.
Yeah. My daughter was not doing well. I knew there was something wrong.
Who is Lindsay?
She's my better half. I lost myself when I lost my daughter.
You're not yourself. You are your mother, and you're never going to have peace until you become you.
Wow, what an experience. And I really understand and relate to what you're saying.
I didn't realize how much Lindsay looked like her mother until right now. What the? That's this Friday at 12 noon. And you can support The Fallen State by going to thefallenstate.tv/donate or go on other ways. Amazing. Let me go back to Jacob. And Jacob want to understand how to overcome, how do you forgive a stalker? Jacob, do you understand now that no matter what happened, we don't have a right to be angry?
Okay, I don't have a right to be mad that somebody invaded my privacy.
Right.
Okay, where does that right entail? You know, he shouldn't have the right to invade my privacy as well, you know?
That's right. Absolutely. They are wrong for doing that, but if you become angry, number one, you become subject to them. Number two, you become like what you hate. And you just find yourself overreacting and doing crazy things. But it's it doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to deal with the situation in a perfect way. It's just that you're going to do it without the anger.
Okay. All right. Well, I think at the end of the day, no matter what, I have a son, and I have to forgive this person. And I appreciate your words and trying to help me as much as you can.
Okay, you don't have to go to them and forgive them. Just realize whatever they've done, they can't help themselves either. They're controlled by evil. They can't help themselves. And because every human being, not one, but all human beings, in order to be free, you must overcome evil. And the way you overcome evil is by forgiving. Stop judging yourself and other people. But you're still going to see clearly how to protect yourself from them, what to do about the situation. If there's something you can do about it, you will see clearly how to do that.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard. I mean, you know, I totally conceptualized anti-gravity, and right now I'm actually building it, but I appreciate your...
What is hard about... What is hard?
What's hard? You know, I get to a point, and I think I just think about it, and then that's when I get mad. You know, that's when I kind of... not necessarily overreact, but I'm just constantly thinking about it.
And that's the problem. You got to let all those thoughts about any situation go. Do not hold on to thought, because all thoughts are all lies all the time, and the thoughts are evil, and that's what the devil wants you to do, to be in your imagination, thinking about what has happened, what's going to happen, so you can overreact and end up destroying yourself.
I totally see what you're saying, you know.
So stay away from the thoughts about it and just do what's in front of you to do.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, buddy.
Have a good day.
You too. Oh, amazing. 888-7753-773. Derek is out of Tennessee. Derek, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Jesse, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I caught the beginning of the show, and then I had to bounce out, but it's Bible Thumper Thursday, and you were mentioning about there's no such thing as free will. And I hate the fact that my very first call to you is on the internet forever now. I was raised Catholic, when you first said that, I didn't get it, but then I realized I never really got the conception of like free will or the Trinity at all. Like when you're just raised Catholic, you're Catholic, and I hear people call and defend it all the time, and I go, wait, no, there really isn't any such thing. It's either, you know, you're either following, you know, God or Satan, and I realized the last fellowships, the last couple of weeks have been so deep. I like took all these notes. I was like, I'm going to go over this with Jesse, but I think the biblical question, are you more interested in being something or doing something?
So and are you, I'm not sure you like, talk, you're kind of all over the place. Are you saying you do have a free will or you don't have one?
No, I don't. And you always say, are you working on yourself? I remember you asked in fellowship, like how much
Derek,
time do you spend?
Hey, Derek. Let's start with one thing first real fast here. You saying you don't have a free will. Did you think you had a free will before or something?
I did.
And why did you think you had one beforehand?
I can even explain it. It's just what I was taught. Like you have free will, and it, you know, you get to make the choices. But I don't think I make the choices. I'm either working on myself, and that when you said in fellowship, like how much time do you spend working on yourself? And it's like you have to work on yourself all the time. For instance, and let me know if I'm right on this. You know, I do the silent prayer every morning, every night, 98% of the time. In those times that I miss it, I realize that I start following my daddy, Satan. I was like, oh, that is crazy. And I don't know. I just find it really amazing. So when you say, are you working on yourself? And you know, did you have a week? You have to work on yourself, like, from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed. Is that right? Am I getting that right?
Well, what happens is when you first start doing the silent prayer, you start to become aware by the light. You start to see what's really going on inside of you. You start to see the that you're not your thoughts, you're not your feelings, you're not the emotions, none of those things. And then the more you do it, the more you become aware of living in the present. It will naturally happen for you because you start to overcome the darkness of the imagination, which is evil. You will start to overcome that. So during the day, when you're out and about, you can practice just being aware of your body so you can stay present, or being aware of yourself walking through a room or something so right. that you could be aware. And then
and it feels like I will. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Eventually, instead of living in a life of unawareness, unpresence, you will always be present.
And I'll find that I'll check. I think I'm aware, and then I'll check out, and it'll be like an hour later. I go, whoa.
Oh, okay.
Paying any attention at all?
Right.
And,
so when that
and
happens,
I used to like really beat myself up about it, and I go, oh, it's okay. Like, just let it go in one ear and out the other, and then just move on. And like, because you know, that's already over. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, but don't beat when you go in and out of consciousness like that. Don't beat yourself up. It's enough to just come back to consciousness, and you'll be fine. And eventually that gets easier and easier. So it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal, but when you talk about there are layers and layers and layers, like if you're not even trying, you know, Satan sends his little demons up. But when you start working on yourself, what do you mean? Like he really starts sending like his big boys. Like what does that look like?
It looked like fear. It looked like past memories. It trying to remind you of things that has already happened, but doesn't. Exist anymore. It looked like a false future. It looked like depression, suicidal thought, all kinds of things. Loneliness. It looked like worry. But all those things are of evil, but they all come as you overcome it because they don't want to depart from you.
Got it. And I will tell you this. The mistake I made, you said, do not preach to other people when you start waking up.
Yes.
And I was like, no, like you should check this out. And people want nothing to do with it.
Right.
And I was like, whoa. And I'm just going to shut my mouth and just keep working on myself. It was so crazy. I got to tell you that like they want nothing to do with it. I didn't mean to preach, but when you described it that way, a fellowship, I was like, oh, I'm totally doing that. And I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it was very, very odd. Anyway, I'm all over the place, Jesse.
Christ said to the man that he healed, he said, hey, go and tell nobody you've been healed. Don't tell anyone. Because Christ knew that most human beings do not want a healing. They don't want to be healed. They love their misery. They don't want to know that they're free. They don't want to know that they're not a sinner anymore. They're neither a sinner nor a saint. They do not want to know that they can have heaven right here on earth. And so He told the man, don't tell anyone, right? Because, number one, they don't want to be free. And also, they're going to hate the truth in you now, and they'll try to destroy that. And you might not be strong enough to deal with evil like that.
Well, and I was raised Catholic, and I always, like, tried to struggle with it and understand the mystery. And so I had an identity with that. But when I hear your message, and I know it's not you, you're just explaining what's already there.
Right.
I was like, this is the only thing that makes sense. And it was so, the only thing that was easy is to go, oh, I recognize that. And I go, it seems phenomenal. And then I shared it with 2-3 people, and all of them, it was like, you know, show me their teeth. Like that dog that that governor shot. So I was like, I'm just gonna sit here and be quiet.
But, yeah, just quietly live your life. And if someone comes along that really wants to hear the truth, they want to know, hey, you know, how you get to this, you'll be able to tell them, and they'll be ready to receive it. It won't be like throwing pearl to a shrine, because He will use your mouth, your body, to tell to so that you can speak to someone that want to hear the truth. Most people, man, including your family members, do not want the truth.
And I'm so grateful. When I first called you, you're like, "Have you forgiven your mother?" I was like, "I don't have to do that. She's a great woman." And you're like, "Nope." And I was trying to ask you about this ex-girl I was with, and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna fix her," and I'm like, "I can't help anybody." And I remember you said at fellowship that when you start to wake up, it's really hard to get with someone else. And I go, "Well, it's better to work on yourself." And your family isn't your family. Like, God will give you everything that you deserve and need.
Yes.
He knows. You don't know.
Yes.
And because otherwise you're just ruining another human being. I didn't realize how evil, an awful human being I was. And so, yeah. I mean it with this joy in my heart, you know. And I tried to explain that to someone else, and they're like, "That makes no sense. You're like a weirdo." And I'm like, "I kind of am, but..." anyway, Jesse, I've been all over the place. Thank you for the time. I really appreciate you.
You're welcome. I wish you well, Derek. Call me again.
You know I will. Thanks, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Amazing. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Georgia, a first-time caller, Nicole out of Georgia. Oh, my. Nicole, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. I just called to let you know that I thank God for you. I stumbled on something you had on the YouTube, and from there I was just captivated by the truth that God has put in your heart to share with mankind. I was able to forgive my mother. She's deceased, and I forgave my father, who I had so much anger towards. And I just feel the weight off my shoulders.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, the fallen state that human beings are in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't even be mad at the fallen state, because God knows all, God is all, and He has a plan.
Yeah.
For us. And it's showing through the work that you're doing. And I just want to, you know, let everyone know that, you know, you're needed, and that they can trust God and just hold on to the teachings that you're teaching. And God bless you. and I love you.
I love you too, Nicole. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it, all right?
I will.
All right. Amazing. Thank you.
Amazing.
All right. Take Bye-bye. Care. Bye now. 888-775-3773. Ken from Georgia. George, Omama, Ken, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Jesse. How you doing?
All is well.
All right, man. I just want to make a comment about what Hake said about Japheth.
About who?
Huh?
Son of Noah.
Oh, okay.
Son of Noah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was the oldest. The Bible says Japheth the elder. So he was the oldest, and Ham was the youngest. So all those blacks out there talking about saying the black race is the oldest race. No, we're not.
Amazing. You want to respond to that?
Yeah, I don't understand how people figure that. Who was who? I mean, I know that the Jews call themselves sons of Shem. That's why they call them Shemites or Semites.
Right.
So do the Arabs. Mm-hmm. They're also Semites, according to Anchor Baby. But I don't know how people figure that, because to me it sounds like they're jumping to conclusions.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there, man. It's in Genesis, I think, chapter 9 and chapter 10, when it starts speaking about the generations of the sons, right?
And it says color they were? It says one was ruddy, one was dark skin.
No, it doesn't give you the colors. It doesn't give you the colors, but it just gives you the names of the sons.
Right.
Well, when you look at Ham, one of his sons was Cush. The word Cush means darker or black. Okay? Now, Shem, it doesn't give, or Japheth. But now you have to look at just by reason, just seeing what it says. You know, it had to be the other colors.
I don't think that the Bible is meant to be us trying to connect which one was our ancestors.
Right.
I don't think the Bible is meant for us to do it like that.
I'm pretty sure it didn't mean to be that way.
I think
that's right. Because look how mixed we are. Look how mixed we are now. You know, it's no pure. There's nothing pure. You know what I mean? It's nothing pure because we've all intermingled. So, you know, but they're making a mountain over, over a molehill.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you, Ken. I got to run because of time. Call me again.
Man, all right. I'm staying with it.
That's right. Thank you, buddy. Super chat.
On Rumble, Jesse Lee Peterson Rumble, J1D2 says, in response, I guess, to the biblical question,
what is real power?
Only God has power. Once we realize we have none, then the ego can die. Praise Jesus. Thank you, God.
Amazing. Thank you.
Woozy with a Rumble rant. Jesse, did you realize before today that you were employing a flat earth believing non-Christian Irishman who murders innocent animals for quote unquote sport? Bond has been infiltrated. JK Sean, you seem pretty okay.
Amazing. What a mess. Thank you.
Age of Inversion with a Rumble rant. Cursed to forever be a fugitive and a wanderer and never to yield crops from the earth. The Jews have the curse of Cain, says Age of Inversion.
Amazing. Thank you.
It's me. Zenya says, youth is wasted on the young. That's a quote. At least that caller realized. Oh, no, I already read that one about the 29-year-old realizing. Yeah. Shout out to the top contributors on D-Live. Psylocked, I think. Henry Ford Lives, Games for Rec, Evgeny Crosby, Aries One, Loif, and the rest of the supporters on the D-Live crew. Appreciate you guys.
Thank y'all.
And Pastor Chatelet says, well done, Hake. This is a knight's tale fallacy. Dude is forcing modern knowledge or information into the past. Big smile emoji, hashtag Team Christ.
Amazing. Thank you.
And thank you, guys. I do believe that is... Oh, no. Evgeny Crosby said, Serene Sawaf was deceptively wicked even for 2006.
Who is Serena Sawaf?
She was the 2006
interview on the throwback episode that you did, we did yesterday on the Jason Lee Peterson show. We premiered an archive. You interviewed a woman from MPAC, Muslim Political Action Committee, something like that. And she was a trying to act like the Muslims are these great people.
Amazing.
Evgeny Crosby with another diamond beta. Games for Rec with a couple of diamonds. Romans 14:11. Bible Thumper. Is your phone? Is your thing on? Are you muted? You're muting.
What?
Okay, there you are. I couldn't hear you.
Bible Thumper.
Games. Now I can't hear you again. I don't hear you. Do you hear yourself? Oh, maybe it's my mic. Games for Rec said Bible Thumper and Aries won with a diamond. No message.
Amazing.
And
thank you.
Games for Rec says, oh no, I already read that one. Thank you, Games for Rec. And thank you, guys. I do believe that that's all for now.
Thank you all. I am not muted. And I do hear you.
Must have been my thing.
I am so out of time, folks. I cannot get to another call. If the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, I'll be back tomorrow. Get on that straight and narrow and stay there. And stop preaching to people. They don't want to hear. And then by you forcing it, like, it's all about your ego anyway. I know you happy, you kind of want them to have it, but as Christ said, tell nobody. Just live, and he'll work through you. Amazing. Do the silent prayer, forgive, and watch those thoughts. Watch them. That's all you need to do. Don't fight with them. Don't argue with them. Just watch them. I am out of time. The hate report is coming up now. And after the hate report, Joel Friday. And after Joel Friday, he black. The American Anchor Baby. All right. Amazing Bible Thumper Thursday.
Bible Thumper.
What the? Have a good report. And thank you for your support. Don't forget to go and donate to RebuildingTheMan.com or call 800-411-BAR. Take care now. I'll see you tomorrow. The Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. Open line Friday.
Bible Thumper.
So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer.
I know some people have called in and they wonder if the silent prayer is working. And I just want to take a second and to tell them that it works. You just have to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I started doing before I even forgave my parents. And I was so depressed and suicidal at some times that I just would have to stop in the middle of my job or whatever I was doing and go into the silent prayer. And it really does help. Like, I don't have those anymore.
Amazing. You haven't seen anything yet. Doubt every thought. Bring every thought into captivity. Just let them all pass. Don't judge them. You haven't seen anything. It gets better and better and better and easier, easier, easier. So my gift to you, no charge, at RebuildingTheMan.com/church.
Like, my cousin, like, sent me you, and I thank him for that. It was more of a, you know, he thinks the whole, but like, everything's a joke. That just adds a little spice to it. But in the heart of what you're saying, there is real things going on.
Yeah.
People want to overlook that. And I'm telling you, Mr. Peterson, I'm not one of those people. And I thank God that, you know, he showed you to me. And sometimes we just need some Jesse in our lives, I guess.
Thank you, Chris.
I wish we had more brothers like you. We need more brothers like you, just because we don't have most guys that can, you know what I'm saying, lead black people into the right direction. And I thank you for that, because a lot of people will be like, man, it's still going on. It's racism. Yeah. And I try to tell them, like, watch his show. Listen to this brother. He's telling the truth.
Take no thought about tomorrow. Yesterday doesn't exist. And you got to see, man, God is with us and all is well.
Thank you, Jesse Lee Peterson.
for an excellent JLP show.